Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. We'd also like to take this opportunity to ask that you support GeekLegacy.com by clicking on any of our Amazon links before you go shopping. By doing so, we will receive a small credit for your purchase, and every little bit helps in keeping the legacy alive. This way, we may continue to bring you the latest and greatest in geek news and reviews. Thank you!
Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. As always, I'm here with Randy and Amanda. Justin's probably going to come in a little bit later if we let him, but I'm kind of going to break the fourth wall. You know, Randy, Justin, and I were all hanging out the other day, went to a bar, had a couple drinks, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden we're in the bathroom all peeing, and this crazy guy, like, peeks his head, like, from underneath the stall, and we're like, and so, like, you know, I'm like, did I see that? Am I imagining it? It turns out it's Michael Bay. He drunkenly gives us his phone number, says, hey, give him a call. He'll be on our podcast. So you guys want to try calling him, see if he'll answer?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Let's try this out. Let's see here. Let me bust out my phone here.
Dude's already seen our dicks. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, I mean we're all Eskimo bros now, right, I think? Isn't that the devil? All right, here we go.
This is Michael Bay, the greatest filmmaker of all time.
Hey, Mr. Bay, how's it going? It's David, Geek Legacy. How's it hanging?
Who?
David, we were at the bar, you know, with Randy and Justin. You know, he said, give you a call, come on the podcast.
Oh, that's right. How you guys doing?
Doing great. How you doing?
Fabulous.
I feel like I should be ordering a burger right now.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hey, give me a fucking burger over there.
Who are you talking to?
I don't know, some bro with big titties.
Like,
I mean breasts. Can I say that on the podcast?
You can say whatever you want, Mr. Bay.
I can?
Sure.
I like it.
What do you want to say?
That I'm the greatest filmmaker of all time.
I would think that, but you know, recently you've kind of been apologizing for what we deemed as great films. I mean, you went on record as saying you apologized for Armageddon, saying it was a terrible movie.
That was taken completely out of context. Armageddon made like $7 billion in the box office.
I don't know, worldwide.
David, it made $7 billion worldwide. That's like, I think there's like 1.3 billion people in China. And that, imagine everyone in China seeing the movie 5 times at the dollar movie theater. That's how successful that movie was. Why would I be sorry about that? I'm Michael Bay. I'm the greatest filmmaker of all time. We shot half of that movie in space. Name another director that can do that.
Well, I mean, I have the quote in front of me.
Michael Bay.
It says, I have to publicly apologize for Armageddon. So I'm just not understanding how that's out of context.
I think the guy that wrote that down was drunk.
And for the record, I think Ron Howard shot a lot of Apollo 13 in space, too. Just saying.
No, that's
like
incorrect.
Like actual space.
That's incorrect.
Like free fall.
He wanted to borrow my shuttle, and I told him no.
You have a shuttle?
I do. It's amazing.
Can I go on your shuttle one day?
Sure, why not?
Sweet. I'm going to go Michael Bay's shuttle, guys. See you later. Now, what are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm working on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I got a question about that, actually.
Sure, what do you got?
All right. We've heard a lot of rumors.
Hey, Splinter, get back in your fucking cage before I put you there myself.
He's yelling at Splinter.
You're not going to get any cheese if you keep acting like that. Stupid rat. Sorry.
At first, we heard rumors that that they weren't going to be mutants, and then it was said that they weren't going to be turtles at all. So that just leaves us with teenage ninjas. And I want you to tell me the truth. Is this just a big-budget remake of Three Ninjas plus one?
No. It is not. This is going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the turtles that you know and love, the green guys that hang out in the sewer, that bang broads and order pizza. That's what we're doing right now.
I don't remember them banging broads, Mr. Bay.
Well, it's just one. April O'Neil. She's got a camera and everything. They make a sex tape. It's incredible.
That sounds perfect. So what does Splinter do?
He holds the camera.
So is Splinter there now?
He is. He's a dumb rat. I can't stand him.
So you're not going to CGI the rat. You've actually
Dave,
got
Dave,
a...
Dave, I'm Michael Bay. I'll do whatever I want.
Clearly.
I'm number one. And you know what? Let me tell you something about being number one. When you're number one, you have a bullseye on your back. It's like the Wild Wild West. Everybody wants a piece of me. They all want to bring me down. I get all this hate mail, but really it's just because they're jealous. Do you have any idea what it's like to be the best in the world at what you do? It's nuts.
I'd like to think that I do. But probably not at your level.
Dave, I have 10 films in AFI's top 5 films of all time. Wrap your brain around that.
I don't think that's true, sir.
I'm Michael Bay. Dave.
Yeah.
Check this out. I have close-ups. I have movie stars. I have helicopters. Helicopters in shot in slow motion. Sometimes you can see 2, maybe even 3 propellers. Those things shouldn't even be able to fly. It's impossible. But you know what? I'm Michael Bay, and it's my job to make the impossible possible. It's what I do. Pain and Gain made $7 billion worldwide. It's only been out for like 3 weeks.
I don't think that's
Seven
true,
billion,
sir.
Dave. That's like if every person on the planet saw it once and paid $1.
I think I saw it once, and I don't think Randy saw it. Did you see Randy?
I didn't.
What about you, Amanda? You got any questions for Mr. Bay? I'm afraid to ask any more.
Well, put your ass up against the camera. This is 3D. I want these teenagers to be able to eat off of that thing.
He's talking to Megan Fox.
I've got a Megan Fox question, if it's cool.
Who's Amanda? Hey, you want to be in a movie?
No, that's okay. I'm fine with my anonymity. Well, I did have one question. You know, you're well known for having lots of awesome explosions in your movies. So, you know, what of all your movies, which one has your favorite explosion?
You know, let me tell you something about these explosions. Everyone is always getting on me about having too many explosions, but they're not even mine. Those explosions are people trying to kill me. I just keep them on camera because they look cool.
You just gotta keep moving?
Yes, just keep going.
Who's trying to blow you up? Like
everybody.
Like the Wile E. Coyote? Who's using explosions to get you?
All these internet movie database forum posters. They all want to try and kill me. I don't understand. I bring them great movies.
They appear to be heavily armed. We haven't got to Randy's Megan Fox question.
What's that?
It's just a quick one here. Exactly how many times did Megan Fox have to fellate you to get back on your good side?
32 times, Randy. 32 times.
Well, I am glad that we had this chance to chat with you, Mr. Bay.
You know, it's my pleasure. I'm Michael Bay.
You made yourself quite accommodating for us. Is there anything we can do for you?
Yeah. You can go see my movies.
All right, we'll go back to make your movie, Mr. Bay. Thank you for your time.
All right, perfect. Thank you, guys. Geek Legacy, love the show. I listen to it every week.
Right here, Michael Bay, fan of the Geek Legacy. Look, hey, Justin just popped up. Hey, Justin, did you get any of the crazy guy talking?
Nope.
You're going to have some fun when you play that bad boy back. Michael Bay is a bit of a nut.
He's a fantastic man.
Fun young man.
Uptown all the way.
Well,
every movie he's ever made $7 billion.
Really?
He's got 10 films in the AFI top 5 films of all time.
I believe it. That guy's a genius.
Drinking the Kool-Aid. Did you hear what he said about Splinter? Yeah, so what have you been up to, Justin? Other than missing the beginning of our podcast, which is very unprofessional.
I've been playing Need for Speed like crazy. Hot Pursuit.
Yeah?
I'm like addicted to it. I can't stop. It's becoming a problem, actually.
Well, it was cute when you texted or emailed, like, NFS, and, like, I spent, like, 15 minutes, like, trying to figure out what that meant. And then, like, finally I'm all like, all right, I'll bite the bullet, and I'll ask. And you're like, Need for Speed, jackass. Like, oh,
yeah. Double play, jackass. No, it's so good. I seriously have a really hard time not playing it. I'm upset at myself right now for having to stop.
Is that why you're late?
Yeah. I can't help it, because the races are like 20 freaking miles now. They started off like a 2 mile, 3 mile races, and then it gets to like 8 and then 12. And
how long does a race like that take?
The last one I just did was like 7 minutes or so. I'm going like 200 miles an hour, Dave.
Sorry. I'm the a-hole today.
Yeah.
Michael Bay calling me out. Justin calling me out. What's next? Randy, you going to call me out?
No, I got nothing but love for you.
Yeah, that's right. Respect.
What? So you went to the movies tonight, right? What'd you see?
I did. I saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
Ooh, do you like it?
Let me paint a picture for you. All right. Now, you know how...
I don't know if we have that kind of time.
Yeah, that's true. I'm long-winded.
Well, this is an audio-only podcast.
Yeah. All right. I'll be quick. All right. So, you know how Star Trek Final Frontier is terrible and 2, 4, and 6 are great? Well, in this scenario, the 2009 reboot, which was amazing, is Star Trek The Final Frontier, and Into Darkness is pick your favorite movie of all time.
Oh,
it just annihilates the 2009 reboot, which I loved. So it's not like I'm saying that one sucked and this one's great. I'm saying that one was great and this one was greater.
High praise.
That's right. Like I said, my official grade is A++, 10 out of 10, 5 stars, 2 thumbs up.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So wait, does that mean that you like it more than?
Nope. Not more than Wrath of Khan, if that's what you're going to ask.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
It is my second favorite Star Trek movie after Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
So my new order goes Wrath of Khan, Into Darkness, Undiscovered Country, Voyage Home, First Contact, Nemesis, and then the other crappy ones.
I didn't realize that you... I thought I was the only one that had Undiscovered Country in front of Voyage Home. I thought you liked that one better.
I like them both a lot, but I think that I like 6 because 6 has the nice little finality of, you know, the original crew, and they have a nice little send off at the end. So I like 4 because it's funny and it's a real fun fish out of water story. But as far as, you know, just great Trek film, I think that 6 is a better film.
Yeah,
I really like Rorapente.
And Worf's in it, kind of.
Worf's grandfather or whatever.
He's a lousy attorney.
He's no Klingon Larry H. Parker, that's for sure.
You need Saul Goodman.
Yeah, just call Saul. But yeah, if everything you liked about the first one is amped up for the second one.
Are there a lot of lens flares?
With the very small gripe. No, there's not so much that there's lens flares. It's anytime they're on the bridge, it's shot in a way to where it looks like you're on the other side of the view screen. So there's always like color lines and stuff like in front of the actors. It's so hard to explain. Once you see it, you'll get what I'm saying.
Like glare or something?
Yeah, it's like you're on the other side of a glass window, which I'm assuming is the view screen or whatever. And so it's never like a clear shot of the cast. It's always got lines.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think that was a thing in the last film, too.
Yeah, it was.
It was. But I saw it in 3D, which I highly recommend. Actually, the 3D was really good. I'm a big proponent that it's a gimmick.
Is it?
But the 3D of this one's actually pretty good. One of the things J.J. Abrams does in all of his films...
You are mean tonight.
Fire.
I can't handle 3D. I wear glasses.
Oh, yeah.
So having to deal with another pair of glasses is like bullshit for me. Like,
hey, six eyes.
Like those jewelers that have all those crazy different lenses.
All the lenses.
I was thinking like National Treasure and the Ben Franklin glasses, yeah. But yeah.
But one of the things that J.J. Abrams does in all of his films, not just the Star Trek movies, that I kind of get bored of, is he starts a lot of shots out of focus, and then like the actors come into focus, like they walk into it, and it's very overused in a lot of his films, and it just seemed to be very overused in this one. It's almost as distracting as all the wipes in the Star Wars movies that I know Justin loves. Yeah. It's like every 5 seconds, it's like, oh, I can't see anything. Maybe I need glasses. Oh, wait, no, the actors just hadn't hit their marks yet. Maybe edit like 2 seconds later so they're already in focus. J.J. Abrams, what do you know about making movies? Michael Bay knows how to make movies. Justin, you will not want to watch the credits, the end credits of the film.
Oh, I get sick? Is it Superman style?
It's so Superman style. Like, so basically the way it works is like they're on like a planet or a moon or something. It'll have like one credit. Like it'll say, J.J. Abrams film. And then like it like swiftly zooms to another planet. And then it's like, you know, Chris Pine. And then zooms to another planet. It's like John Cho. And it just does that for like 5 minutes.
Yikes.
And you will vomit, I bet, because you don't like this.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No, you don't. Makes I know your body, dude.
Very nervous.
Yes. But I highly recommend it. Everyone should see it. If you love the first one, you will love this one even more. Everybody
does. Was it too long for you, or was it just right?
No, it was shorter. I think it's shorter than the 2009.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just a hair over 2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, it's and it feels tight. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of extra space. And everyone brings their A game. Zachary Quinto just annihilates it. He does, like, the most amazing job as Spock. Benedict Cumberbatch, as insert name here, does an amazing job, and every second he's on screen is a joy, and he kicks a major booty.
Mm-hmm. And how.
And how. And you can read my full review, in which I will tell you who Benedict Cumberbatch is, on the site. It should be up by the time you listen to this. GeekLacy.com. Did you have any questions about the movie that I can spoil for you?
How's Pike?
Pike's like my favorite.
Yeah, he really brings it, man. Like, he's only on the screen for a few minutes, but every scene that he's in, he blows me away.
Yeah, and he is in this one too. You really get the impression that he really has feelings, you know, in a paternal way towards James Kirk.
Oh.
And he's really
and hoped you were growing.
He really is one of the few people in Captain Kirk's corner, and you can tell that he really sees something special in James T. Kirk, and
he wants it all over his face,
all over, everywhere, like on his chest.
Oh, sorry.
Floating in space.
That's right. Zero G. Zero G. Zero G. See mean.
A lot like Star Trek VI there with the Klingon blood floating around.
That's right. Pink blood. Pepto-Bismol. What were you saying, Amanda?
Oh, I was going to ask, do we have to wait like half an hour before Benedict Cumberbatch comes on?
Before he comes on screen? No, you don't. He's causing trouble from... obviously, I don't know. Did everyone see the preview before The Hobbit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, so we all know that the opening is the whole thing on the red planet, and that's you know, that goes on for.
So that was the legitimate opening of the movie. There's nothing before that. That's how the movie starts.
That is how the movie starts on that planet.
Okay.
And so the whole you see almost the entirety of that scene in that 9-minute trailer, and right, except obviously the trailer ends before the resolution, and after it goes from that, then it goes to the London thing. And then after that, it's just bang, bang, bang.
Ooh, it's cowboys.
Yeah.
Stick them up.
But he does. Benedict Cumberbatch definitely steals the show, as does Zachary Quinto. I had the same kind of beef that I had with the original, with Carl Urban as McCoy. I love Carl Urban, and I love most of the time he's McCoy, but every so often he kind of, I don't know if it goes too far or if it just.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, he's got a real doozy in this one, too. but other than that, you know, I love Bruce Greenwood as Admiral Pike, and you get to see Alice Eve. You get to see her in her brown panties. That's always a treat.
Who's that?
She's the one who plays Carol Marcus.
Is that the blonde chick?
That's the blonde chick with short hair.
Screams in the trailer.
Yeah, you'd scream too.
What has she been in before?
I don't know, but a lot of boys are going to want to be in her.
Yeesh.
But no, yeah, she does a great job, and you want to scream with her. Her dad's RoboCop, you know.
Peter Weller's her dad?
And Peter Weller's her dad. Admiral Marcus.
I'm confused.
I mean, in the movie.
Okay.
Not in real life.
I was not understanding what... I thought I was having a stroke. Like, I really had no idea what you were saying.
I get that a lot.
I was blown away. I was seriously confused.
Murphy's her dad?
Remember when you had, like, hypothermia, and for, like, 3 years, you would just, like, mumble something that made no sense?
I think I still do that. Case in point, 45
really?
Seconds ago.
Yeah, like, he would just be talking, and he'd be like, in the ceiling of smoke. Like, what? I don't know.
to be fair, I did that before I got hypothermia.
Oh.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
How did you get hypothermia?
Because I'm an idiot.
Well.
Randy and I wanted to wait outside in the snow for 13 hours to see George Lucas.
Oh.
Randy dislocated his shoulder. I lost feeling in my toes and slur now.
And then Randy shows up wearing like a makeshift sling out of like duct tape and toilet paper and cardboard. It was weird. I was like, what happened? What happened? What you got? And they left me all alone at work and they go off to Indiana.
Yeah, and we're in line to see Ray Park, who plays Darth Maul, and Randy's all like, my shoulder.
I'm like, hit me in the shoulder as hard as you can. Maybe pop it back in.
This is like Friday at like 4 in the afternoon, and we got like 3 days left.
How did you dislocate your shoulder?
Because I was wearing a backpack that was made for like a 10-year-old. It was like all small, and it tweaked my shoulders, I guess. But it was the only backpack I still owned that wasn't all tore up from school. So it was the one that I took. Who's the goose?
My shoulder. All of a sudden, he's like so banging it. He's like banging it on like a pillar, like he's like Martin Riggs in Lethal Weapon 2. And I'm like, I don't think it works like that.
You guys are dumb.
We are.
We have fun though.
I got on like the local news. I don't know. What's the thing? It's what we do in Indiana.
I don't remember. How did you get on? I remember you were on, but. Yeah,
because the police department told us we couldn't wait in line, but everyone was like saving like people's spots, and so there's like 200 people in line, and then all of a sudden like the convention was gonna like make everybody leave, and so like it became like a human interest story that like these people, they just want to see George Lucas, but the city is making them go home. Meanwhile, they're making us go home because it's snowing, and I'm wearing canvas shoes and a hoodie, and probably shorts.
Probably. That sounds like you.
I'm from Southern California. I didn't expect. Like, I remember, like, pointing up, it's like, it wasn't actual snow. It was kind of like the equivalent of, like, when it mists, but with snow. And I'm like, I'm from Southern California. Can someone tell me what this is? And they're all, it's called a flurry. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. That means it's going to snow. I'm like, oh. So I'm screwed.
Did it wrong.
Oh, did. Blew it right out the water.
But it was worth it, though, right?
Every second of it. Because it's a fun story I can tell in the Geek Legacy podcast.
Yeah.
Following up Michael Bay in Star Trek with hypothermia, dislocated shoulders, and Ray Park. Yes, nailed it. Living the dream. So what else is going on, guys? What you guys got going on?
I had a dream about goats yelling at me to dance, to dance and look pretty, and they were eating gummies. It was so weird.
Was it like house, like trance music? Was like,
I don't remember hearing music, but it was like right when I was falling asleep. Do you ever have like just the craziest little dream, or maybe you think you're falling, or you get a trip on a step or something, like right when you fall asleep, and you just kind of alert yourself or do like a little jolt or something?
No comment.
That was exactly. I swear I had only been asleep for like 3 seconds, but it felt like. Like a 10-minute nightmare of these goats yelling at me to dance and look pretty. It was so bizarre.
Were they like, look pretty?
They look like pagan goats, like kind of dragnet style.
Like on two legs?
Yeah. It was so weird. Oh, man.
People against goodness and normalcy?
Yeah. Good stuff.
All the way from Anaheim, California. Here you go. It's a bit of a crazy story there.
Yeah.
What were you drinking or eating at the time?
Nothing. It was time for bed.
You were delirious with tiredness.
Yeah, it was late.
Randy fell out of his chair, I think.
The goats got him.
I'm good. I had to scratch my ear.
Ah.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
My dad, we just called it whacking off.
Remember the one-eared elephant? That was always fun.
Yeah. You used to do that at Autoland all the time. God damn, when didn't you have your dick out of your pants?
So bad. Oh, man. What was I doing?
I don't know, but I can draw your penis from my memory, so I've seen it too much.
Yeah.
I made a rubbing.
Got with
tissue paper and a pencil, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It's like the Grail tablet.
You know what? We're all friends here. It's just...
We're all adults here.
Yeah, it happens. Nothing wrong with that.
It does. I can assure you, if I am ever left alone with a camera, there will be some photos of my junk on it. That's how I roll.
Duly noted.
That's why they had to stop putting out, like, disposable cameras at weddings. Right. Everyone's taking them in the bathroom is taking shots of their junk after they got drunk.
My poor sister's wedding. Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, 2003. There's a photo of me in the bathroom taking a picture of me going to the bathroom.
Can you see that it's you, or is it just your junk?
Oh yeah. No, I don't know. I don't remember. To
It's
be
not in the photo album.
Well, have the, no, it's not, but I did get a talking to.
I bet.
My dad was in the bathroom too. That's the funny thing.
Hold the camera.
He doesn't. I don't think he remembers it, but there's a photo of him peeing too. But I'm standing behind him, so it's not weird.
Not at all.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. But you, Randy, any pictures of your junk you want to share?
None that I care to share, thank you.
That's too bad. Bet it was a doozy.
Did I ever show you guys the one with the apple?
You talked a lot about it, but you never showed it.
Are you
Okay.
picking it up?
You said it was very artistic.
It
Like an
was.
elephant trunk. It
Feeding
speaks to it.
yourself with
I'm feeding it into my ass.
Oh, that's awesome. That's hot.
It is kind of cool. It's
I'd
talent.
watch that.
I would too.
It's double jointed.
I would pay
It's got
money.
a knee.
US
It's
dollars.
got a knuckle.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we have digressed.
And we've reached a new low. All of a sudden, our listeners tripled. Huh? I don't know how that works. Give the people what they want. So, Amanda, what are you wearing?
Oh, Jesus.
Kimono.
Yeah, probably. With a katana sword nearby.
Ooh.
You guys are the worst.
We are.
We're pretty bad.
Michael Bay rubbed off on us.
I wouldn't dispute that for a second.
I would debate we're the worst. Had you, if you said we're terrible, I wouldn't doubt that. But not the worst.
Yeah, that's probably true. We could get there, though.
I mean, it's something to strive for.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to have goals.
It's true.
Ours are just a little more depraved. Anyhow.
And how?
Gremlins. You guys hear about Gremlins?
I did.
Officially remaking Gremlins. I guess there was talk that it could have been a sequel, but now they're going to just start from the get-go.
Oh man, that means no Phoebe Cates.
Maybe they'll
She's a
just
mom.
CG.
Yeah, but if she's in it, then it won't really be a. I mean, unless it's kind of a remake that has some of the old cast. It's like a new generation, in which case it's more like a sequel. So, I don't know. I don't think she could be in it at all.
I'm cool either way.
F that cow.
What?
I'll just watch Fast Times instead.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I'll be right there with you.
Someone's got to hold it.
Wait, it like Judge Reinhold?
Yeah, like Judge Reinhold. That's what I call it. That's the title. It's okay, Judge Reinhold. No one will laugh at us anymore.
Jeez. What is he up to?
Everyone should name their junk after an 80s movie person, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Mine's Judge Reinhold.
That's a good one,
One of
though.
you, needs to name it Kirk Cameron.
Oh, I
Me and
don't.
Kirk Cameron are going to take a leak.
No way.
Can I name mine Molly Ringwald?
That's a.
You can, but it's weird.
It's a ginger.
It's true. Truth.
Oh, sorry.
That's
Yeah,
okay.
sorry. I derailed the whole thing. Gremlins.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good idea. I'll watch it.
Oh, man. So, you know how I'm on like a Nick Nolte kick these days?
I do. It's very unhealthy.
I know he is really good, dude. I'm so mad at myself for just denying the viewing pleasure of Nick Nolte. That guy
Well,
is so cool.
he was in I Love Trouble and The Hulk, so
That's true.
don't be too hard on yourself.
He probably owed somebody a favor. But I watched 48 Hours
Oh,
on
yeah?
Saturday.
It's a good film.
That movie's awesome. But okay, so it's playing and I'm listening to the music. And I'm like, man, I know I've heard this music before. And then I just kind of start like kind of humming it and everything. And then I realize it's exactly the same music from Commando. And then they got the same god dang composer. So then I look it up. I was like, okay, something funny going on here. And I think it's that Horner guy.
Which guy?
I want to say his name was Horner.
Like James Horner or John Horner or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's James Horner.
Yeah, James Horner. Same guy, same music.
Yeah, he does all James Cameron's movies.
And even the one guy, the little guy, Sully, he's in 48 Hours as well. And the music's playing while he's on screen in both films.
Did the music for Braveheart and Troy, speaking of which. Speaking of Troy earlier.
Good stuff. Anyway, 48 Hours, Nick Nolte. Now I have to watch another 48 Hours, but either way, I'm excited.
Yeah, for the record, he has 2 Academy Awards.
Oh. Was it for Commando and for 48 Hours?
It was for neither, no.
Hey, he did The Rocketeer.
For Braveheart and Titanic. Ugh.
The Rocketeer has an excellent soundtrack.
That's true. The soundtrack for The Rocketeer was good.
Willow, come on. He did Willow. That is an excellent soundtrack as well.
You know what's interesting, too, is
Captain EO.
With Willow,
Aliens.
I think the music in Willow was used in Enemy at the Gates. Did you ever see
that? He did Enemy at the Gates as well.
See? It's got like this da-da-da-da-da kind of thing, and it's like the same kind of music when like Bab Morta or the guy with skull face is on screen.
It's so funny.
Now that I know he's the guy who did Troy, I think he did Wrath of Khan.
He did. He did Wrath of Khan, yeah, and he did Star Trek 3.
Because Wrath of Khan and Troy have the exact, like, when they're sacking Troy, it's the exact same sound as Star Trek 2. It's uncanny. I remember looking him up thinking, what a hack. Yeah. It's funny. We both came to the same conclusion about the guy from two totally different sets of movies.
Yeah, he's just phoning it in. He just renames the title of his scores.
Who does he think he is? John Williams?
Yeah.
Well, too soon?
Yeah. Well, who did... I like the one movie... Prisoner of Azkaban. I like the music in that one.
Yeah.
Is that John Williams too?
That
was the first one he didn't do, isn't it?
No, he did. Azkaban was the last one he did.
Okay. Oh, okay. That one sounds really good. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, like the whole like Hedwig's theme and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the choir one.
Like yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm on board with that.
David, do you have a fun list for us this week?
Do I, in anticipation for Star Trek Into Darkness, which is my second favorite of the Star Trek movies, I have a list of IGN ranked the Star Trek movies from worst to best. You guys want to hear it?
Jeepers, mister.
Yeah, real story about it. Here goes. Number 11, Star Trek Insurrection. Who could forget the 9th entry into the Star Trek franchise about facehuggers and Data? You guys a fan of this film?
I like it.
Yeah, Insurrection's terrible.
Now, I'd like to say, to point this one out, is the one where Picard cries like a baby, but that's all 4 of the films. Right. Picard's a wuss.
Yeah.
Number 10, Star Trek Nemesis. Vehemently disagree.
Yeah, that's the one we like.
Yes, with Tom Hardy. But it is most definitely better than the number 9 film on this list, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Written and directed by William Shatner. Starring William Shatner.
We all hate that one, right?
Yeah.
Universally, I think. I just hated.
Shatner versus God.
I think Shatner even hates that movie, just to be fair.
He should. Number 8, which is probably my least favorite Star Trek movie, Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad, too.
It's about 12 days too long.
That's been kind. 12 days is like the trailer.
I watched it when I was a kid, and I remember I think I fell asleep at least 3 times watching it, and it was still on when I woke up the 3rd time.
Right, because it actually starts out with promise. Like it starts out with like 3 Klingon bird of prey like encounter Vigor and are destroyed, and you're like, oh, this movie's gonna be great. Fast forward 7.5 hours and nothing happens. There's a bald rod.
They're just aborting the Enterprise 7 hours later.
Yeah. And at the beginning, none of them are together because Spock is the one is the captain of the Enterprise. Kirk's the admiral. He's not even in the picture at the beginning. And McCoy's off doing God knows what. It's terrible. Terrible.
I think he's banging dead people, and that's why they call him Bones.
Necrophilia.
I think they're right.
Number 7, Star Trek Generations, the first Next Generation film.
Hmm.
To quote
or you
could
say
film,
it's the last...
Hated it.
It was not good.
No, it's so bad. Also, fun fact, Picard cries to a girl in this one, too.
I like the beginning when Kirk, yeah, Kirk gets sucked out, and Cameron's Capitan.
When Cameron was in Egypt. Yeah, it started out with promise, but in the end, it was just terrible. Number 6, Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. Now, what I like about Star Trek is that they had such an emotional high with Star Trek 2, where Spock died and everyone was sad and thought, oh, what a great franchise. They're willing to kill off a major character. And then the next year, they completely undid it by bringing Spock back.
Yeah.
Search for Spock.
I don't like 3. That's the one where Kirk's kid dies, right?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd is in that one.
He's Kirk's kid?
No, he's the Klingon commander, yeah. A lot of people actually like it, though.
Does he say Great Scott?
He does not. It would be funny if he did. He says, like, Loktar. He's like an orc. Number 5, Star Trek First Contact. Notable again, because Picard cries like a baby in this one as well. See where I'm going with this, Picard? How can anyone ever say Picard's better than Kirk? All Picard does is cry.
He's an empathetic captain.
Some would say a wuss.
Well.
Do you guys like First Contact?
I liked it the first time I saw it, but I don't think it holds up as well as everybody think it does.
Nah, it's alright. I mean, it's not...
I don't know. I watched it recently, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
That's the one with Cromwell, right? And they're...
Yeah.
They're on Earth, and half the crew is just hanging out, and the other half is being attacked by the Borg, right?
Correct, yeah. Half are on the ship trying to restore all the systems and defend against the Borg, and the other half are down on the planet trying to help Zefran Cochrane rebuild the Phoenix.
Which was the first ship that got warp speed or something, right?
And correct.
The first contact was with the Vulcans or something?
Uh-huh. That is correct.
Pass.
You know your stuff. Number 4, Star Trek 6, The Undiscovered Country.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I would put it as my number 3, but hey, if IGN wants to put it as 4, I'm not going to argue. It's not like it's like 11. Where would you put Undiscovered Country, Justin?
I'd probably put it at 4. Well, no. That's hard to say. My order is kind of whacked out because I don't agree with anybody. I would actually have, because I have not seen Into Darkness, I can't rank that one, obviously.
Right.
I don't think this list does either, so.
It does not.
But I would have the 2009 Star Trek be my number 1, and I would have Undiscovered Country be my number 2, Wrath of Khan be 3, and Nemesis be number 4.
Oh, wow. And Voyage Home 5, or?
Yeah, Voyage Home 5.
Yeah, I think I have the same top 5, just in a slightly different order. But what about you, Rando? What's your top 5? It's like, I haven't seen it. I saw Final Frontier.
It's like Rocketeer.
Are we including the new one, or just classics?
Have you seen the new one?
Well, not the newest one. I mean, the 2009. Yeah,
you can count all the ones that you have seen.
Yeah, that was 2009 was my number 1, Randy.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, it shows.
You get me started looking at top 10 lists and I get distracted. Well, once I get the internet in front of me, I just start drooling.
Just say you don't like Star Trek.
Let's see. I'm going to go with in no particular order. I'm just going to give you my top 5.
No particular. I'm going to give you my top 12.
No. I like Wrath of Khan. I like part 4. I like part 6. Then the 09 Star Trek. And then the 5th one, I'm going to go ahead and throw at Generations just because. And I know David hates it, but I like it, and I like watching Shatner die.
Oh,
because I want to see him die, but because it was like a noble kind of fitting kind of, I don't know. It felt like a good death. It was cheesy and stupid, but it felt nice to see it on screen.
I think him getting sucked out of the Enterprise, saving the ship was a good death, but I don't think falling off a bridge was.
I agree. What about you, Amanda? How do you rank your top 5?
I don't know. I haven't seen the old ones in such a long time. They like all kind of run together in my mind.
Like, I like the one with the whales. That's how it's always described. Like, I like the one with the whales.
Which one's that? Undiscovered Country? No, it's not Undiscovered.
That's Voyage Home. Voyage Home.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I love The Next Generation so much, though. I love all of those movies. I know they're not great Star Trek movies, but I will just put one of those in the DVD, the old PS3, and watch them whenever I want to have something on my television.
I watched the 09 version yesterday just to get ready for Into Darkness, since I think I'm going to watch Wrath of Khan tonight.
I fell asleep in the middle of that movie.
It's a bit of a thinking man's Star Trek.
You have a lot to think about. Nothing's happening on your screen.
Ouch.
Burn.
Topical cream.
You need some.
But since I stopped halfway through the list, the number 3 on IGN was the reboot, the 2009 reboot, then Voyage Home, Star Trek 4, and their number 1 was Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Khan!
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite.
Not mine. Christy Alley's in that.
She is. She plays Savik.
Kirstie Alley.
In the script and in the novel for Wrath of Khan, it's a boy, and they couldn't even be bothered to change the dialogue in the film. They actually refer to her as a man. Two times in the film. Yeah, it's two times in the film they call her a man.
Well, it's the beards.
she's a bearded lady. You know, Spock sacrifices himself for the betterment of the crew, so I mean, gotta give it to him.
Part of the crew, part of the ship.
Yeah. Needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, I think we're done. Take us out, Justin.
Oh, okay.
Since you missed the beginning.
Oh, sorry. I was racing.
I bet you were.
Going for gold.
Go for gold!
That's what I was going for. Get into the ringer. I could count a potato. Well, that about does it for this week's podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. You can tune into our other podcasts that we have on the site. There is the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen James, and it's all about video games. And we also have the Comic Corner, which is hosted by Tyler and Jeff. And they review whatever's on their pull list. And just remember to check geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thank you.
Yay! Yay!